Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the amazing Be Better podcast. You have Coach Chris in your ear once again, and the amazing
Coach Gabby
is also in your other ear in glorious stereo. We are going to attempt to break down our attempt at predicting a world championship, which was 70.
Lots gone down.
Oh, yes. So the 70.3 world championships happened. Also, the ITU world championships happened. And we made some pretty bold predictions. Mm-hmm. Some of them were actually not so bold. They were actually pretty softball.
Yeah.
Especially on the women's side, because there was like a very, very good chance of what was going to unfold there.
Pretty clear.
But some things have happened since, and we'll maybe have to revisit our predictions for Kona, because there have been some things that have happened, you know, kind of in the recent past, and we'll talk about that. Also, talk about some of the headlines and how incredibly ridiculous some of those headlines are out there in the world. But you know, just to get back to it, I think the first thing we should touch on is 70.3 worlds, and with that, just recently, we had made some predictions. So let's revisit a little bit as to what we had predicted for 70.3 worlds. So Gabby, for you, actually, we both did. We had picked Daniela Ryf to take the win. I think that was pretty much unless yeah, unless the world came to an end, she was gonna house everybody.
She's been dominating.
Yeah, but what did come into play was our predictions on who was gonna take second. Exactly. Now I had taken what I figured was the bold the bold choice of Sarah True.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, taking an American for second and knowing that she has been successful on a number of different distances, but then coming back into this, I thought she was going to be good. You picked Lucy Charles. In retrospect, you were absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Because our female winner was Daniela Ryf. Her finish time was in 4:01:12. That's just ridiculous. 4:01.
Oh, I just can't wrap my head around that.
I'm not sure anybody really can. And
no.
And it's like, that is like just an amazing, amazing time.
And just good all around. She's just a good all around athlete.
Yeah. So you look at her swim. Her swim was like 24:24, which is, you know, that was right up there. I think that was, you know, it's, if you look at Lucy was out at 23 flat. Mm-hmm. So she's like a minute and a half back. You know, in that distance, that there is some real estate there, but she was in the big pack. I mean, she was coming out with Ann Haig. She was coming out with Pamela and Radka. I mean, there was really this big group that she came out of the water with, which was really kind of the second pack. There was a lead swimmer in the second pack. You wouldn't know what it's like to swim in the second pack. I mean, just if we're going to talk about, like, realistic, right? I mean, that's... So theoretically, those are the people that are way behind you.
Okay.
But then her bike split, if you look at her bike split, she went
massive.
2:15:27, which is the only person that even came close to her was Lucy Charles, and she went 2:17, but nobody really even came close to her. So she just really outbiked everybody. And then on top of it, she runs a 1:16:59, sub 1:17 half marathon.
She beat all on that run. I mean, she outsplitted quite a few of even the pro males, too.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to see how, like, in these times, how the women are actually the fastest marathon runners on the courses in a lot of these races.
Yeah.
You know, they're just completely
machines.
Completely hooping it up. And, you know, so to put that at a 4:01:12, I think that's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Now you had picked Lucy to come in second, and that was good. I, on the other hand, had picked Sarah, and Sarah actually came in 10th.
She did have mechanicals though. When I did go on her Instagram, she had two flats.
Yeah.
That day. So that's a lot working against you.
Exactly. So if you look at her times in comparison, so she came in 10th place and she was 4:15:59, right? So 14 minutes behind. And where did those 14 minutes get lost?
her bike, I'm sure.
Almost all on the bike. Because her swim, she was 1 second faster. She was in that pack with Daniela. And then on the bike, she went 2:29.11. And that's where that's not typical for her because she is a strong biker. But then on the run, she went 1:17.58.
She ran really well.
So that is a super, super fast. And Ann Haig was the only person to run faster than all of them. And Ann Haig went 1:15.11. But if you think about it, put all that together, if Sarah would have just not had the mechanical, she legitimately would have outrun Lucy in theory, and she could have came in second, which would have been a huge result for her. Huge result for her, but a great preview for possibly going into Kona.
Yep.
How did you view the race? Did you watch the race online? Did you watch it on live?
I didn't watch the race live. No, I was following kind of on Instagram. That was kind of the way. And then I did check in a couple times to get the live updates. But I wasn't watching. Did you get to watch any of the feed at all?
I did watch some of the feed. It was funny because I was traveling. And so I actually remember waking up and watching it in my bed and watching the finish. And I actually got to see our friend Nikki finish.
Oh, super cool.
You know, from the comfort of my I don't know where I was staying. I think we were I was up at Bewabic, up at Giants Ridge. So I remember waking up, turning the phone on, thinking, okay, the race is over, and boop, nope, there it is. And I actually saw her come across because she has white sunglasses and her hat was on backwards. But I went to bed watching the race start out.
Yeah.
And it didn't even seem fair, to be honest with you, at some point. It was crushing, but it was a great race. Now, if I had to look back and say, could it have been something else? I don't know that it would have been a much, much different outside of that. Because if you look at some of the other people that were up in there, I mean, I think that we had talked about, it's the women's field is, especially on the 70.3 side, is not as, I would say, well known. Mm-mm. because you don't have, I think, number one, I don't think you get some of the sponsorship and support corporate-wise for some of these athletes to be able to travel and make all these races.
Unless you are Holly Lawrence. Yes. But she was out this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you don't, they just don't have they don't get the face feed. They don't get the FaceTime. But also, not only just that, but they don't get the ability to race as prolifically around the globe. Mm-mm. And so we don't get to know. So you have to have
Which I hope that changes.
I think it should. I hope it will. I mean, man,
it's just a different style of race than a full. It's just as challenging. Different style.
And I think with it being an Ironman brand event, that the sponsors still, they play to it. And I think it's just as an important event. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's good. Do you see that anybody's results here? Does that change any of how you feel Kona is going to come around? Does anybody have a breakaway event here and you're like, dang, Kona's going to be a totally different show now?
Not really, because we both predicted Daniela in there for Kona too. So
how do you think it would have been if Rennie would have been racing?
Well, she just won Augusta 70.3, so I think she would have done.
You mean Tim O'Donnell's wife? Won the women's side.
The title.
Which is that was a terrible newspaper headline.
So was that the local newspaper?
Yeah, it was from Augusta. It's the newspaper, right now, I'm paraphrasing. It said, Tim O'Donnell wins Augusta triathlon, wife wins women's division.
Terrible.
I was like, what? This is almost as sexist as the old nameplates for the member tournament up at Minnetonka Golf Course, where in the past it would say the member, like let's say for like my brother and sister-in-law, would say the men's winner was, you know, Dr. Chris Kruger. Mm-hmm. And the women's winner would say Mrs. Dr. Chris Kruger. It wouldn't actually have the member's name. It would have their husband's name and then Mrs. that
How
person.
How lovely.
Terrible. Just terrible. I couldn't imagine it. So, but if Rennie would have been in the mix here, I think that it would have been a totally different.
I think it would have changed up the podium, the top three potentially.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the run, because her run is a weapon, and it would to see her. You know, she could have run back.
I don't know if she could have outrun Anne though. That split was killer.
It is. And there wasn't enough distance for her to make that back up. You know, whereas Ironman, she has a lot, of, you know, she's got twice the distance to make up a lot of that. And she's not a strong swimmer. Mm-mm. So if she would not have been able to hold on to that second pack, could she have been, you know, as dominant on the bike? I don't know. But it's the run is always been her threat. Mm-hmm. So, so with the, with her and T.O. coming off that win, that's going to change Kona a little bit, I think. Definitely. The other big things that are going to change Kona are some of the things that happened after our men's results, which was, with T.O. or with Jan now being injured and not being able to go on.
Stress fracture in the SI joint. Ouch.
How does that happen?
Well, I do remember last year he had to pretty much walk the marathon with SI issues. Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably maybe a recurring issue for him.
I know.
But that's just too bad. He's class act.
It is tough. And he would have been, you know, up on the podium.
If not, taking the win.
Yeah. So we'll have to take a look and maybe as it gets closer to that maybe our next one we'll break that down a little bit with more current roster. But if we do, you know, look back at those results, if we look at not just on the women's side, but look at the men's
race,
the men
pretty exciting too.
It was so. Just to kind of recap what our predictions were, we both had predicted Javier Gomez to win. Mm-hmm. We both also said Jan would come in second. And then we varied on who we thought we had for third place. I went with the Brownlee,
and I had Knut.
You went with Knut. Now, very good, solid choices there. But in a random thing, maybe Javier was put back by a side stitch on the run where he was like relegated to walking.
Yep.
And so I think that is, you know, that's something that was, I think you nobody could have foreseen that happening. No. So that definitely opened it up for Jan, not to take anything away from him, but he did have a very solid race. Again, they, you know, the his win was at 3:36:30. Come on. I know people that can't do Olympic distance races in that amount of time.
Yep.
But, you know, so look at the difference in the time. So there's swim 21:53, wicked fast.
Very strong.
Wicked fast. The bike, and for him, was 2:04:28. And if you look at, you know, because the result was Frodeno, Brownlee, Gomez, 1, 2, 3, and then Knut coming in fourth. Mm-hmm. So let's look at some of the separation of the times in these guys. So, again, we talk about swimming in a pack. All those guys came out in the same pack because Frodeno was 21:53, Brownlee 21:57, Gomez 21:56, Knut 21:52. Essentially,
right there.
All those guys just crossing the mat just right within a couple seconds of each other. Then on the bike, this is where it gets really outstanding. The bike 2:04:28 for Frodeno, 2:04:29 for Brownlee, 2:04:37 for Gomez, 2:04:37 for Knut.
Now, they all managed to stay right together.
I know. Now, I don't draft, but that when they say working together, they are all working together.
Absolutely.
And to think about a race like that, and I'm sure that at some point in time this goes through your head, when you do bike next to somebody, and maybe more when people are racing against you, they are thinking, okay, what is this person capable to do on the run? Mm-hmm. And now it's really that's all that did. That swim and bike just set it up for a running race.
Absolutely.
They might as well just put it as a whole, just for a half marathon. And this is where it really does, you know, I think the rubber hits the road. So for our run times, we look at this, and this is where it breaks down. Frodeno went 1:06:33. Brownlee, 1:07:39. So less than a minute back. Mm-hmm. Gomez, with his side stitch, still pulls off a 1:08:15.
Very impressive.
I know. But then Knut falls way back at 1:12:38.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, struggling for a 1:12.
It's all relative.
Exactly. Yeah. Put it in perspective. but all of those are right inside there of that, you know, of that very finite amount of time. And so it does make it interesting to see how it all is so close. And if you think about it, you know, Frodeno, Brownlee, Gomez, Knut, those guys are all ITU guys. So they've been, mm-hmm. they're very used to racing side by side and then having Gomez. It, and having it be with a run. Yep. Yeah. And so it's kind of cool to see it happen at a longer distance. Like you just get to watch it for longer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you watch that race at all? Or did you do the same thing with the Instagram?
Same thing.
Now, how do you watch something on Instagram?
People will post like live videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is kind of cool. Like in their stories,
mm-hmm.
they'll post, like I saw like the lead pack coming out of the water, which was kind of cool. And then I saw pictures on the bike.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty cool.
Why do you choose Instagram over like Facebook or Twitter? Because they all kind of have the same features, don't they?
I don't know. I'm on Instagram more than I'm on Facebook. And okay. I don't have a Twitter.
Okay.
So.
I'm just curious because I recently got on Instagram and I don't know what the real like
draw is
or difference is besides yeah. like I got to post in three places now.
Yeah, it's just I think Instagram is more just pictures and stories, whereas Facebook you get I feel is more of the family feel.
Oh.
Where you connect with family and gotcha. Friends.
So
that's
so,
how I associate.
So Instagram is more hip and hip for the younger crowd.
It's the hipster crowd.
So for you versus me, I'm more of a Facebook type of yeah. like, okay, I'm the person like actually taping pictures on my wall.
Yeah.
It's not how this works.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I did not watch this race at all.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I had checked randomly for some
Twitter updates. Yeah, we were also traveling too, so it didn't. Yeah,
but I ran. Didn't work out so well. But I was. I did watch the recap, and that's where it did seem to be. I'll tell you, Frodeno looked like he was in just like unbelievable pain throughout the entire race. Like he looked like he was about ready to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
But then he always does.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, have you seen a race where he has not looked like he's just like. Like he's
shoot
like
the breeze.
Like, yeah. Like the wheels are coming off the bus on him, yep. like 24/7.
Well, I think that's almost the ITU side of him. It's like always on the verge of a red line, like if not at the red line.
Yeah.
I think he's just used to pushing himself that far.
And, you know, you think about, you know, with training partners, you know, the Brownlees with Alistair and Johnny yep. being, you know, training partners, that's an ultimate like 1-2 push. But, you know, Jan's got a great training partner built in the household too with mm-hmm. that, with Emma.
Yep.
Emma Snosel. And, you know, she is maybe one of the top three women to ever come out of Australia to race the sport of triathlon. Mm-hmm. You have to put, you know, let's see, who else would you put in the top three there? I'd probably put McKinley Jones
mm-hmm.
would be another one. I don't know who I'd put my third. Anyways, let's just say top two. Let's say Pip Taylor. There we go.
Okay.
There we go. We got three names because I brought them out there. But she still has to be in high form, I'm mm-hmm. guessing. And to be training like – because she was an incredible runner. She – actually, you remind me a lot of Emma Snosel. I mean, because I think the style that you race – the threats that you bring to an event are very similar to what she had because she was an amazing swimmer
mm-hmm.
and then she's very compact, but she was just like an amazing runner and just could run like just everybody down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're like a little American, Emma Snosel.
That's a lot to live up to.
That is a lot to live up to, but it's a great standard. So now taking these guys and moving forward, do any of these results change your kind of feeling, and not asking you for a prediction, but just kind of some of your feelings
for Kona
towards Kona?
Well, with Jan out, I don't know. I mean, Gomez was in such good form. He could end up winning the title. If he can figure out if that side stitch was a nutritional issue, if he can lock that down, because Kona's a whole nother animal.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll walk away with the title then.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Is he tipping his hand as a predictor to what some of his limitations are?
Because mm-hmm.
we've not seen that happen with him before, though. I mean, this was a one-off, and he has done well in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And his other – and his was he did his inaugural Ironman went sub-8.
Yep.
But it does kind of bring up the question is –
Has he figured out nutrition yet?
Yeah, has he? Or was it were those other ones flukes?
Mm-hmm.
Were those other ones flukes?
Oh, or was this a fluke? Okay.
Yeah. And that's an interesting, I'm guessing that he probably won't, won't be tipping that up. But I would love to see another American on the podium.
I know.
So I would like to root for Ben.
Oh.
Okay, T.O., let's talk about T.O. for a second. Tim O'Donnell. Mm-hmm. Okay, nice. Reasons why to like Tim O'Donnell. He's a hell of a nice guy.
Yeah.
Right? Hell of a nice guy. He always has a flashy kit. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, I always really appreciate somebody with a flashy kit.
You look good. You race fast.
Exactly. Rick, exactly. That's a good one. But I do think T.O. suffers a little bit from some of that American, I call it the Cam Widoff syndrome. And you remember Cam Widoff? Mm-hmm. He was like always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And he's like the Jerry Cooney of triathlon, like American triathlon. He's just, if you know who Jerry Cooney was, he was a white boxer, and he was always like the guy that lost.
He was always second place.
Yeah, and so I just don't know that I've seen enough differential from T.O. to make him get up to that top upper echelon level. He can win the shorter races, you can win some of those other ones,
but maybe he'll make a podium appearance.
That'd be nice. I mean, it would be nice. It would be nice. Hoffman, took second a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Where's he been? Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a fluke, right? There are things that happen during races that allow people to get at a little bit higher level.
Lionel's coming in a bit fresher.
Yes.
He didn't do 70.3 worlds.
Yep.
He's just been focusing on vols, so mm-hmm. could be interesting what he has to offer.
It would.
Since he hasn't shown his cards lately.
It would be, I saw Andrew Starkwitz mm-hmm. like throwing down some smack on social media, challenging anybody that thinks they can outrun him at Kona to say so. Like, okay, if you think can outrun me, tell me you can, and I'll challenge you, and I promise I'll beat you. Like, that's some serious, that's some serious smack from a guy that normally doesn't, continue on to the run, has normally been just, a super biker.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be interesting to see. I would like to see Ben up there. I think that he has had some more consistent results, so mm-hmm. it would be good to see him up there on the podium. He definitely can. He's shown that he can swim and that he can bike with everybody. And if he can hold that run together, maybe bring it down a little bit.
Is he racing Kona?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't see him on the start list because a lot of these guys could be, but they might, pop in or out. And, mm-hmm. There's always one of those last minute moves.
Oh, absolutely.
So, but we'll dive into that deeper on our next one. We don't want to get there. So we also had another world championship that happened. ITU world championship.
These I watched.
These were super exciting.
I was there.
You watched them from the inside.
Yeah.
First of all, congratulations on a silver medal.
Oh, thank you.
That was, I think I did predict that you would be on the podium overall.
Mm-hmm.
I did predict on that. You did not want to predict on your own, which I get that pontificating from your own race is never a good thing. But give us a little bit of insight as to how that went, because as a fan, because I'm a fanboy at heart, it was something that I have things that I believe you can do, and then to see you pull those off is just always just an incredible affirmation of who you are. But to see you draped in the flag is something I've never seen before,
mm-hmm.
and I got to tell you that was like something that just it moved me a little bit.
It's pretty cool,
and it was very special. So, how was it like?
It was awesome. Like I mean, that's the word of the day. It was awesome. Everything just kind of clicked. The swim felt great. Leanda and I kind of just wanted myself to stay in the lead pack and not redline per se right out of the gate. So I felt like I had a little bit more in the tank on the swim, to be honest, but I felt like I didn't need to show all my cards right away. I did on the bike again, I felt really strong. It was a little bit more technical than a lot of the other world's courses in the past. There were some really tight turns into some steep inclines. Ooh. So that was fun. It was a lot of fun. And we had driven it beforehand, so I kind of had a little bit of an idea of what I was up against, which helped a lot. But I did lose a little bit of ground on the bike, but I have competed against most of these girls except the women's winner before. So I just tried to stay confident in the fact that I could just keep applying pressure on the girls who did get time on me. So keep applying pressure, but know that I can reel them back on the run. And that's kind of what I had to do. Yeah. So I got off the bike and kind of ran with all guns a-blazing. And
did you know where you were at that point in the race?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did. I knew that the French woman, she was killing it. She was up there, but I did know the girls who did pass me on the bike. I knew, that they were right there, and kind of immediately out of T2, I was able to get one girl right away. And then I did know that there was one other girl that I had to pass.
Who was feeding you the info?
I just paid attention right away.
So you were able to see it.
Yep.
So,
okay. I was able to, cause we all came out of the water together as well.
Okay.
So it was kind of from start to finish that I kind of knew where I was, which was helpful. It was really helpful. Obviously overall, I had no idea where I was because I mean, there were, I don't know how many umpteen waves.
Exactly.
So that I couldn't control, but the age group I could control.
When I saw you were second in your age group.
Yep.
And then second overall, like, damn.
Yeah. The age group was fast.
I know. Like, it couldn't like the, like, too bad. Like, she wasn't just in a different age group. Then at least you would have walked with one. Yeah,
I know.
You're like,
it's all right.
It's tough though. It's a tough position, So you got in there and it was basically your perfect day.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much PRs on all front minus the swim. But I mean, the bike was as good as I've ever been. So I was proud of that. I know I lost time, but it was still a little bit of a breakthrough for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not always the strongest cyclist. So for me to at least kind of hang in there and keep, you know, I kept applying pressure and stayed with them. So for me, that was a breakthrough.
Yeah.
And the run was honestly, I couldn't have asked for more. It was the best I've ever felt. So
that's
it
awesome.
Was, yeah. It went really well.
And so Chris was there. Was any other of your family there?
Yeah. My parents came out too.
What was their feeling? They had to be over the moon.
Well, yeah. Cool. Cause they had no idea where I was overall. They didn't even really have any idea where I was in my age group besides Chris did. Of course he was paying attention. And,
yeah.
But my parents just had no idea. They were just there with cowbells. But of course when I finished, they're like, oh my gosh. And they saw the results. They were super excited and Leanda was super excited. So it was cool.
That's awesome. And then that leads up to, you know, to a conversation that you have to, I think at some point start to consider as to what happens after this.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of factors in there and I know that, actually Leanda and I talked about it a little bit. So you've got an interesting off season to kind of be thinking about it, right?
I know I've got one more race and then,
oh, what's that?
It's, Tempe 70.3. Oh. I wanted to finish off with just something long. I mean, there's no pressure on it or anything and we didn't target it as an A race, but it'll be kind of fun. I wanted to throw 170.3 in the season there. So
when is that?
It's in a little less than a month now. So
okay. What's the date on it? Do you know?
October 27th. That's our best friend's wedding, October 21st.
Oh, gotcha. The 27th is my birthday.
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, it's my best friend's wedding.
Oh, well, I was wondering because I'll be in Tempe during that time.
Because
it's Art and Science of Triathlon.
Well, yeah.
I'll be putting the learn on, talking about video analysis. Super and then I'm cool. Also going to do the coaches roundtable.
Super cool.
I know, with Melissa Stockwell. She's a friend of mine. She's
And she raced at Worlds too.
Yeah. And she's then Ian's going to be there.
Nice.
Coach Hollywood.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun. So that'll be a good time. So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
You got to still be on a high, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've come down a little bit, but, you know, it was, you know, quite the accomplishment and it didn't really seem real at first. So yeah. It was cool.
Well, it kind of goes back to when Slow Twitch says, who is Gabrielle Button?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it just made me so angry. They called you as part of a St. Paul-based coaching consortium. I don't know where they got that from.
But
first of all, where is the world that say St. Paul in anything that we do?
No.
Like, you don't live in St. Paul. You live in, like, a northern suburb, but that's North Oaks. But I don't live in St. Paul. It says Minneapolis. And, like,
I know Chris read it, too, and he's like, I was with you when you were talking, and I never once heard you say a St. Paul coaching combine.
No, yeah, coaching combine, that's what it was. Like, where did they come up with that? And then, like, in that whole thing, they talked, Like, and that was another thing where, you know, I hate the sexism stuff and how they never treat people the same as men and men. Like, that whole thing, they didn't talk about, like, your racing. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't. Like, there was nothing about, like, your history of racing, you know, like the development of things that you're doing. It just, it was like, it was just like a, it was like a fluff piece. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you missed it, Slow Twitch. And maybe this is the reason why I never listen to Slow Twitch. Yeah. And never watch or read Slow Twitch. But I got sucked in. And of course, once I get sucked in, I'm completely disappointed.
Yeah. You're committed.
I'm like, all right, get.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That blows. So let's cover some of our the people that won on our professional side, though.
Fun races to watch. Super fun.
So looking at the results here, let's go our top five. So it went Ashley Gentle. That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Australia. Vicky
Which
Holland.
Which was fun for her to take it. Yes. In home base.
Yeah. She started with a start number of 9. So she was not actually coming in as the favorite, but as a hometown favorite. Vicky Holland she took 2nd. Katie Zafaris, who was actually coming in as the number one seed. She was 3rd. Laura Lindemann in 4th, also from Germany. And then Kristen Casper, another American, rounds out our top 5. All those were seeded in the top 10. And looking at the overall times, Ashley took a 1:52 flat. And then Vicky was 1:52.02.
It was insane to watch the finish. They were neck and neck at the very end, and it came down to about the last 100 meters. Ashley just put the back burners on and just pushed. But Vicky tried to go with her, but just didn't have that final kick like Ashley did. It was incredible.
You got to love the ITU for having.
It's so tactical.
Yeah, they set those up.
It's so fun.
It happens so often, though.
Yeah.
You know, I think back, was it Worlds in London when it was, Johnny and Javier? Mm-hmm. No, was it Alistair
Alistair, I think he was injured that year?
It was Johnny and Javier. Mm-hmm. And that last 1,000 meters when they go and that out and back and they turn and they're back and forth.
I still have videos on my phone from that.
Yeah. And Alistair was like, he stopped and was cheering for him. I was like, that.
Super
I was at that
cool.
one. And it was like, that is almost as amazing as the Olympics. When it was the women's the gold in London when it was basically a photo finish, same thing. But anyway, so these guys were neck and neck, and if you get a chance, everybody go back and watch the video of it because it was
incredible. Yeah,
yeah, you can just overlay an Eminem song on there, and it would definitely be that. Mm-hmm. But Katie hung in there just close enough. She was she was 30 seconds back, and which was enough to give her
the
overall
series championship. She played a really good race. I mean, she was leading for a little while on the run, but Vicky and Ashley were just kind of pushing the pace, and Katie went with them for a bit and then fell off because Vicky and Ashley just push that surge.
It was about 20 seconds back and just wasn't, and it all did come back down to the run because they all, again, they're working draft legal.
They
and
were all together.
Yeah. It's great to see that. But then also like have Kristen up there in the top 5, I think is
amazing.
And
Taylor Spivey in 7th.
Oh, I know.
The U.S. did really well.
And to think about like so when I look at the results here on the women's side, the one thing that gets me is the ages. Mm-hmm. So years they're born. So Ashley born in 91, Vicky born in 86.
Yep.
Which, you know, if you think about it, is actually kind of an old timer. Mm-hmm. Katie's born in 89. Laura's 96, and then Kristen's 91, and Taylor's also 91. So if you look at those, there's only, you know, there's just not a lot of difference, but the old guard in Vicky that she was able to kind of stick with it because ITU is not an old person's game.
Nope.
So this may be, you know, maybe Vicky's last years and she'll start moving up to the 70.3 distance.
It'd be really cool to see what she could do when she goes long. If she decides.
Well, you know, it could. On the men's side, what we had.
Another super duper exciting race.
Vincent
Louis came down to the run.
Vincent Louis from France. Mm-hmm. You know, and then Mario Mola, you know, the next Javi.
Yep.
He's
everyone thought he was going to take it, and he was doing really well. He was in the lead for a little while, but Vincent Louis again just had the afterburners.
He's just right there, and then Richard Murray too.
Yeah.
Coming in and taking it, and you know, Richard, I think, is always an unsung hero in these.
Absolutely. Well, it was incredible to watch him on the bike because he was in the second to the last pack for a while, and he bridged the gap and got that pack up to the second pack.
Yep.
And it was incredible. And then, I mean, he's an exquisite runner, so he was able to get right up there right away. So that was fun to watch. And Blumenfelt was leading on the bike for quite a while. He was working with Louis.
Oh, yeah.
So, but Blumy just can't. He can't run with the big dogs yet.
He can't. And
he's still young.
Well, and when we say he can't run with it, let's look at...
all relative.
Yeah. In the top five.
Yeah.
The top five guys ran sub 31 minute 10K. Chew on that for a second. Sub 31 minute 10K. And then if you look at what Mario and Vincent did, they went sub 30.
Yep.
And that is, and the difference between Mario and Richard Murray is only 13 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't fathom running that fast,
no.
You know, and that is not, and that's not just, and a part of it isn't all go out, but to run that fast and then to have some of those final kicks
mm-hmm.
and to have something in the tank at the end.
More years.
What's your best 10K? What's your 10K PR?
Actually, it was at Worlds, so it would have been, the course was just slightly short, so it would have been about a 38, a little over a 38.
What would it take for you to run at
that? And that's off the bike. I haven't done many 10Ks open.
Yeah, so I mean, to think about, you know, to think about that, the differential in pace, when people think about, okay, oh, we're just going to go, you know, up to the pro ranks, you ran a 38. If we look back at the women, the person who would have come closest to you that would have, we don't see a 38 until we get down into the 27th mm-hmm. overall.
Oh yeah.
And it's a whole other level. And I don't think people get that. I think it's in professional sports, there's something about, you can see it on TV, but to be able to put down some of those, like whether it's hockey mm-hmm. and the capability of stick handling, whether it's biking and climbing or in running off the bike in triathlon. It's just, there's something that's so different there. Mm-hmm. And that's nothing to take away from you. But when people think
absolutely.
About how, you know, how amazing you are and how dominant you are in what you do, that then look at what these girls are doing. It's a whole other level. It's like six other levels
mm-hmm.
because to shave, like if you're going to go from a 38 to a 36 for you, that's a crap ton of work.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a year and a half, 2 years focus to get to that.
Yep.
And now shave 8 minutes off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're shaving 8 minutes off, like let's say a 49 minute 10K, that's a whole different animal.
Oh, yeah.
Because moving up in that last bit, there's so much to be done. But it's fun to see, you know, to see France come up there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vincent was, he's been a rising star, I think for a long period of time. But you know, then, and this is where I think we suffer as Americans, you know, we didn't see our first American until 16th in Eli Hemming. And
it's rough.
I know it's rough, but so fun fact about Eli is that Eli, back in the day, I used to direct the Manitou Triathlon.
Yeah.
And I put on the very first draft legal event here in Minnesota.
Sure.
So it was a youth and junior draft legal race mm-hmm. at Manitou. And Eli Hemming was there and he won.
Cool.
So he came out from Colorado. He's wearing his Mexican poncho and he's got these like funky glasses. His parents are total hippies.
Yeah.
They're total hippies. And the thing I remember about him was that he was so cold and we had breakfast burritos as post-race food.
Did he eat like four?
He kept stuffing them in his shirt to warm up. And I'm like, dude, you better eat all those things. And he's like, meh, 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 meh,
yeah.
meh, meh, meh. But he was so quirky, but he was always just like this really nice kid.
Super cool.
So, I thought.
He's pretty new on the scene though. He'll probably he'll get his feet underneath him.
He is,
and
you know,
really
and so
well.
Eli is born in 95, so he's,
yeah.
you know, he's still not
he's
like
young.
He is young, and I think that like for the guys, they do need a little bit of time to get some man muscles underneath them, and they get that development. But there also is a learning curve to racing at that age, so he'll get up there. But it's funny how in America we don't produce like high end male athletes. Mm-mm. I don't know why that is. I don't know why that is. We need to do better about that.
Mm-hmm. But recruit them younger. I think that's the biggest thing, getting people involved.
Well, is it
younger in the sport?
Is that it? Because the next one was Morgan Pearson down at 41st. Is it getting them younger, or is it developed? Because if you look at the development of youth and juniors, people that are the best when they're young are rarely the best when they're old.
That's true.
You know, unless you get like a Tiger Woods, and then you can argue that. So you don't
want to burn out necessarily?
Yeah. I mean, it's so, you know, you think about some of the best people in other sports where they've, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, he didn't develop until college.
Yeah.
And he was the best basketball player ever. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like the development, I think, when we need to find them, like we found Gwen, she was just coming out of college. She was actually out of college, mm-hmm. And working at a cubicle in Ernst & Young. And so we say, do we want to develop them from a much younger age? And I think that maybe you can start spotting it, but is the development there? I don't know that the answer is yes to that. I think the answer might be allowing maybe to do the exact opposite. Instead of specializing at a young age, encourage kids to have four sports seasons.
Yeah.
Do other things. Don't just do triathlon. Don't just, you know, like if they're a baseball player, don't just play baseball all year round. Play other sports. I think that's what really contributes to making people better mm-hmm. athletes as they're adults, and makes them more well-rounded.
Yeah. That was my problem growing up. I just did swimming. That was it. 100%. But I burned out. I did. I burned out when I was 13, 14.
So you're a testimonial to this.
Yeah, absolutely. I can speak to it.
Your hair is finally kind of getting back too. Because isn't that a thing of swimmers where they just have like, you know, wiry hair from all the chlorine?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I did have one point where my hair started to turn slightly green.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Never developed dreadlocks, which was nice. I did have a couple teammates get dreadlocks.
Yeah. I've seen the boys where it looks like they're just like a bird's nest for hair.
Terrible.
Just terrible.
It just stands straight up too.
It's not good.
It's like they stuck their finger in a light socket.
Just in the pool all day. And you just smell like chlorine all day long.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then you have your big, big backpack with your 15, 16 different bag tags hanging off.
I still have that.
Yeah, it's telltale.
Yeah.
Is that your swim bag?
Yeah, I still have that. I love it. Yeah, it's great.
I love it. Well, Gabby, we've run our course here for today.
Yeah.
We've got some things to think about for our next pre-Kona show.
Yeah.
Things
T-minus 3 weeks.
Oh, it's coming up close. Till
the big dance.
I know. Are you going to be watching that?
Absolutely.
Front to back?
Yep. We always do.
Yeah. I always want to say that I'm going to, and then other things happen. Stuff already. The day.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard to dedicate your whole day.
I have a hard enough time watching like, you know, a full hockey game versus let alone a full 8 hours.
Eight hours of racing.
And you know what? I think they need to do better with their broadcasters too.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can only hear so much Welsh.
They gotta get a really good woman commentator in there as well. To help out,
please. They need
some estrogen.
Yes, they need it. They need a balance, and they need to just talk about different things. And they're getting there. They're getting
it's
better.
It's getting better. Yeah.
Yeah. They need. You know what they need to do is they need to have like people broadcasting from motos on the bikes,
just they like they do the tour.
Exactly. They need to incorporate like they had this year, guys on the bike talking from the road. I think they need to bring that up. They also need to incorporate at some point in time some live biometrics. That would be awesome to be able to see.
Yeah.
So we'll see if Ironman steps up their game. I'm sure they will at some point in time. I'm sure they're not going to take any of our advice or even listen to this
at all.
And
also that would be good for sponsors too. I think sponsors might be more excited if it was more spectator friendly.
We should talk to Dia about that.
Yep.
You know, they are the, you know, Ventum is the official bike sponsor. If they have them out there and have somebody on moto talking about it, that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, any last words?
No, just
nothing.
Happy Friday. TGIF.
Yeah, it is TGIF.
Yeah.
So. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for spending another 45 minutes with us today. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. Keep listening back. Make sure you like us on iTunes and subscribe if you want to hear more and don't want to be left out in the cold. You don't want any FOMO going on in your side of the house. So for Coach Chris and Coach Gabby, this has been the Be Better Podcast. We'll see you next time.
See you later.
Some music.